So in this Easter tide, we're starting a new sermon series called Following the Thread. As a bit of a way of introduction, it might be helpful to know that usually the worship team, as we plan worship services, we find a theme and then we work to identify texts that might work specifically with that theme. And for this sermon series, rather than find passages that fit our theme, we thought we would take an opportunity to use the texts that are provided by the Revised Common Lectionary. And that lectionary provides scriptures, and many churches around the world use that lectionary. And we are going to follow the thread wherever the text leads. And so I'm really excited to get started. Before we do that, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you on this morning as we come every morning, acknowledging that life's cares and concerns often distract us, and that it can be challenging for us to hear your voice. So we ask now that you would silence in us every voice but your own. We ask that you would help us to have eyes that are open and ears that are open, hearts that are softened, that we might be ready to receive your word for us this morning. This we pray in your name. Amen. So this morning's scripture lesson is found in John chapter 20, starting in verse 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of my earliest memories, very earliest memories, from about at the time I was 4, I shared a room with my 2 younger brothers. We had bunk beds, and then my youngest brother was in a crib. And I remember one night, I couldn't sleep or something, and I climbed out of bed, and I crawled down to my brother's crib, and I took his bottle, and I climbed back up into the bed, and I was like, "Well, I'm going to have some milk. That'll help me fall asleep." And as I was climbing the ladder back up into bed, I accidentally dropped the bottle. I looked down at the bottle, and I thought, is this really worth it? Of course it was worth it. So I started to crawl back down. And I looked down at the bottle just in time to see a hand. A green, hairy hand with claws on it. Reach out and grab that bottle and pull it back under the bed. Well, I was terrified, of course. I scurried back up into my bed and I hid under my covers. It's probably until the 3rd or 4th grade that I took certain precautions before getting into bed. I would always, before I turned the lights off, I'd kind of get down from a distance, the other side of the room, and I'd kind of look under there and make sure there was nothing green and hairy under there. which, you know, there are three brothers. There's no guarantee. And then after I made sure there was nothing under there, I turned the light off. But I wouldn't just walk over to bed and climb up into bed because the last thing I wanted was something green and hairy reaching out and grabbing me and pulling me under the bed. So what I would do is I would start as far away from the bed as I could get, and I would start and I would run and I would launch myself into bed from as far away as I possibly could and still get into bed. Okay, I know my kids do this because I've got the holes in the wall from where their bed frame have actually poked holes in the wall. And so it's not entirely uncommon for us to seek out safety. It's a natural response. When there are perceived threats, we try to control our environment in such a way that those threats are diminished, that they're reduced somehow. It's not a bad thing. It's a survival skill. If there's a monster under the bed, well, then you got to do everything you can to protect yourself from it. I'm not certain why being in the bed meant I was safe, but for some reason I was. Well, that need for security is exactly what we see the disciples doing in this morning's passage. There's a monster out there. That monster has put Jesus to death. So the disciples have done what all of us do. They found a safe place and they've locked the doors for fear of the Jews. That's their monster. Scripture doesn't tell us exactly what it is about the Jews that they're afraid of, but perhaps they're afraid that they're going to be put to death like Jesus was. It's not entirely out of the question that if someone is crucified for committing some crime, that person's disciples might be put to death in the same way. Perhaps they're afraid of the accusations that will be made or the criticism they're going to receive. It's entirely possible they're a little embarrassed or ashamed because they put so much hope and faith into this person, and this person was just crucified. All we know is that they're afraid. And so they've sealed themselves off in a room. I picture them huddled around a candle, talking in hushed whispers, furtively looking over their shoulders as though the door is going to burst open any moment and the monster come in. They've gone back to a safe place, one that they know with people they know, and now they huddle together in fear for what might be coming through those locked doors. 2,000 years later, I'm not sure the church has changed all that much. Like the earliest disciples, the church still prefers all too often to cloister itself behind closed doors. We still prefer to surround ourselves with people of similar experiences and backgrounds. We seal ourselves off by race and class and denomination, by conservative or progressive theology. We still often assume that those who are outside our safe little confines of dogma are a threat. Maybe a threat to our beliefs, a threat to our way of life, maybe even a threat to our safety. And though we may not want to admit it, we too are afraid of what will come bursting through the door of our carefully constructed comfort and safety. Turns out, the disciples were right to be afraid, because their safety is about to be compromised. But not how they thought it would be. It's not a monster that comes through those doors. It's Jesus. Jesus steps into the house, because you can't lock Jesus out. Jesus steps into the house, and I'm here to tell you this morning that no matter how safe you try to make yourself, Jesus is here to disrupt your sense of security. Now, Jesus looks at his disciples as he comes into the room, and he says to his disciples, "Peace." Well, that sounds good. That sounds nice. Let's go there. Jesus is offering the very thing that the disciples are looking for, the peace that eludes them. They're hiding in fear. They have no peace. They're terrified of the monsters that are out there and are looking for some sense of comfort, security, and safety and peace from those monsters. And Jesus offers it to them. Peace be with you. But the peace that Jesus is offering isn't probably what they're looking for. At least not right off. Jesus isn't offering them just some mere sense of inner assurance. Jesus doesn't invite them to comfort and safety. The peace that Jesus offered is intended to do something. It's intended to steal them, to prepare them for opening the doors. Look at what Jesus says next. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus comes and he offers his disciples peace. He gives them the Holy Spirit. He offers peace, but he doesn't offer safety. Instead, Jesus insists on sending them out into the world. And this is important. Hear this. Just as the Father has sent me. Now, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but Jesus was sent into a world that wasn't all that safe for him. There were elements of the world into which Jesus stepped that sought to put him to death. And did, for a time. So when Jesus looks at his disciples and he says to them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you, he's telling them something important. There's something more important here than your safety. There's something more important here than your comfort. You can't stay in your cloistered little house, safely ensconced with people that you trust will take care of you. That's not what discipleship is about. Discipleship isn't about safety or comfort or ease. Jesus stepped in to this world that they had created, this tiny bubble that they had created, that was intended to keep them safe and comfortable, and blew it up. The world that they intended to keep the monsters at bay, the walls that they built to do it were torn down. And Jesus basically said, you don't get to build a world for your own safety to keep others out. As a matter of fact, I'm going to send you into their very midst. So what does your world look like? Where have you chosen to cloister yourself? Do you, even in this place, in these pews, choose to associate with people who are your own age? Your own stage of life, your own experiences, because it's more comfortable? Jesus says, as I was sent, so I send you. Do you, even in church, even in this place, do you choose to associate with people who share your same theological perspective because it's safer and it's easier? Jesus says, as I was sent, so I send you. Have you chosen to protect yourself within the locked doors of Ozaukee County, surrounded by people of your economic status, racial makeup, and social experience? As I was sent, so I send you. Where are the locked doors in your life? Where have you chosen safety over being sent? Rear Admiral Grace Hopper once said, "A ship in port is safe." But that's not what ships are built for. You and I, we weren't built for safety. We weren't built for comfort. We weren't built for ease. We were built to be sent. Friends, I know this isn't easy. I know that it's scary. I know that many of you may right now be trying to wiggle your way out of what you're hearing. You're not alone. Look at the disciples. After that first encounter with Jesus, you know what they did? They unlocked the doors. They walked out of the house. They showed great courage. They went out long enough to find Thomas, one of the 12, one of their own. You know what they did after they found Thomas? They went back to the house and locked the doors. A week later, they're in that same house again, behind those same locked doors. The exact same word is used in both references to describe those doors. They're sealed. They're shut. Nothing's getting through them. Not even Jesus goes through those doors. See, the drive to lock ourselves up in communities of safety and comfort, it's a powerful one. It may even be biological. I don't know. Like the disciples, our tendency is to cloister. Like the disciples, when we do step out of our comfort zones, we don't do it for long before we feel compelled to hustle back into the safety that we need so much. Friends, there's nothing wrong with safe space. I am truly grateful that I have all of you, that I have this community, this place where I find great comfort and where I feel safe. I hope that each of you have that same experience in this place. But faith isn't intended to be lived out behind locked doors. Locked doors might keep us safe because they keep us in and they keep others out. But Jesus doesn't call us to safety. Jesus doesn't call us to comfort. Jesus doesn't call us to live our faith behind locked doors. Just like he did with his disciples, Jesus steps into our carefully constructed worlds, steps into our comfort, fills us with the Holy Spirit, and says to us, "As I have been sent, so I send you." I want to end this morning with a story about Mr. Moosey. Mr. Moosey is not a person, actually. Mr. Moosey is a moose. Because kids have the most creative names. In the fall of 2016, Officer James Gibbous of Toamensin, Pennsylvania, made a routine traffic stop. And as he was talking to the driver about her expired tabs, the back window rolled down. Little girl in pigtails looked at him and offered Officer Gibbous her stuffed moose, Mr. Moosey. He smiled politely. He said, "No, thank you. That's okay. But the little girl insisted. You see, she was worried about Officer Gibbous' safety. She was concerned for him. And so she did the only thing she knew how to do. She offered him the very thing that had kept her safe, that had made her comfortable. She knew Mr. Moosey could keep him safe because he'd done the same thing for her whole life. I want you to consider for a moment what this 6-year-old girl has done. She gave up her safety. She gave up her comfort. It may seem like a small gesture to you and me, until we stop and think about what it might mean for us to be willing to step outside of those places where we feel safe and comfortable. Until we consider what it might mean for us to give up the ways that we seek to protect ourselves. Friends, I have no idea whether or not this little girl is a disciple of Jesus. But I fully believe that she made the choice that Jesus is asking his disciples to make. His disciples who are locked away safely in that house. I think she made the same choice that Jesus is asking you and I to make. Jesus isn't calling us to be safe or comfortable. Jesus is sending us just like he was sent. Because faith was never meant to be lived out behind locked doors. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.